So Wall Street futures are up, but if there was an investment in Ponzi schemes, those futures might be up as well. We got news on Ponzi scheme fronts, and also the American government's holdings of Citigroup are likely to be dissolved very, very soon. Joining us to talk about both of these things is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner at the New York Times. First of all, good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
I recall that the U.S. government took a fairly sizable stake in Citigroup and has been slowly selling that stake off, and the end is near?
We owned over a third of the common stock, the Citigroup stock that trades on the stock market, and actually we're out of it now. We're out of the common stock, so the government has made a pretty big profit, 27% return.
Really?
It's the kind of return you sometimes maybe only see in Ponzi schemes, right?
Exactly.
But it's real here, and they've made it on the common stock. We've gotten the $45 billion out, plus $12 billion more.
Great segue, Louise, but I have one more question on Citigroup. I mean, this keeps the stock low because basically the scale of this sale, it's something like $5 to $7 billion worth, right?
Well, the government was a big seller all year long, so they had to sell this entire amount over the whole year. And a lot of people do think that has kept Citigroup's price under $5 a share because you have this constant selling pressure from the government. But now that they're out— you shouldn't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Citigroup stock over the next month or so.
All right. Citigroup stock, now it's all on its own. The government doesn't own I guess the government does own some of GM at this point, right?
The government still owns a little preferred in Citi, but no more common, which was the most important part of the investment and which gave it the extra powers to control Citigroup more than other banks.
And
we've got GM, and of course we have a ton of AIG.
AIG
that one will have for a long time.
Yeah, that's a big one. All right, let's talk about Ponzi schemes. Here's Attorney General Eric Holder announcing that something called Operation Broken Trust has found more than 500 people allegedly who are accused of defrauding investors out of $8.3 billion.
We will use every tool at our disposal to find you, to stop you, and to bring you to justice. Cheating investors out of their earnings and savings is no longer a safe business plan.
Right. The outrage of Attorney General Eric Holder is understandable, but 500 Bernie Madoffs? This isn't like a one-person Ponzi scheme here. What's he talking about?
We didn't hear a lot about Ponzi schemes before Madoff. It was something that did happen across the country, but not something that federal officials paid a lot of attention to. But now they are in this Operation Broken Trust that he was talking about yesterday has been targeting a lot of small Ponzi schemes around the country. So, for instance, there's, a Ponzi scheme in Texas they looked at that was an oil contract promise, but actually the guy was using it to just pay other investors. Some of these Ponzi schemes, just racked up losses to people of, $10 million. But they took place in little communities and churches in the Bronx, or one of the Ponzi schemes they talked about targeted deaf people online. And that one promised these deaf people that they would give them, like 1.2% return every single day that they could use on a special Visa card. The only thing is the Visa card didn't work.
Right.
And so these little things really affect people across the entire country, but they sometimes go little noticed.
You're not a political analyst. I know you're more of an economist. But it seems here that one of the narratives of the Ponzi scheme in the Madoff case was the lack of SEC oversight, that there was a whistleblower, that there were people who said this is funny for way before it became the huge deal that it became, and that in some sense you've seen a response to Madoff, an increased vigilance about Ponzi schemes of all kinds. Are these arrests just the result of increased vigilance, or does Holder see an opportunity to make a political grandstand here and be kind of a populist out for the little guy getting bilked by these Ponzi schemes?
Well, they've definitely put a lot more law enforcement heft onto this. I mean, you've got not only the SEC, but also the FBI and the U.S. Postal Service and pretty much every arm of the government really going after this now in a very concerted, coordinated way. So that is going to help people across the country. But you're right. I mean, they had a big press conference yesterday. They've named this, listen to the name, Operation
Right.
Broken Trust. So they're certainly trying to draw attention to this. And what they've done is instead of highlighting all these little different ones, 100 million here, 10 million there, what they've done is they've added all up and they've said, look, just in the last 3 months, we've cracked down on Ponzi schemes that add up to, you know, $10 billion between the civil and criminal ones. And so they're showing that when you go after the little ones, it does add up to big money.
So it's the financial equivalent of those photo ops you see on a drug bust where they have all the haul sort of laid out and all the weapons and all the sort of big houses and boats and assets that they seized. It's a sort of a spectacular 500 arrests, but these people aren't working together.
That's right. That's a good analogy. Again, these are isolated different people. But, you know, the pattern of behavior is something that, you know, says something about our society and our economy. And you do see a lot more of these swindlings take place and also fall apart during a bad economy.
So let's go back and try to remind people of the rules of the Ponzi scheme. The Ponzi scheme is basically a classic case of I can get you tons of money, give me your money, and then you take that money, and you then go get other accounts and pay the first people who invested with you with the money from the second and third people, and you just keep going until the whole thing falls apart. Is that basically it?
That's how it works. And
or doesn't work.
Well, that's how they pull it off until they can't, right? But what most of these cases have in common is they were promising really high returns to people, you know, 30-40% a month. If it sounds too good to be true, sometimes it is. And they tell you they're making real investments and that's how they're paying you back your interest on your money. But they're not. They're just taking money from future investors.
And what's the temptation to get involved in this?
For the investor or for the swindler?
You always wonder what's in the mind of the investor, but put that aside. That's probably a treatise for a psych student or something. But what's the temptation to actually do something like this?
Well, you know, one of the things I thought was most interesting about the Madoff case was it's really come out that he wasn't always a Ponzi scheme, that he really had a real investment strategy and he did make money off of it. But at some point, it stopped working, and so he started paying some of his earlier investors back with new investor money. So with some of these, that's the case. With some of them, they are well-intentioned people. They did have things that worked.
And he had a great reputation.
Right, but it stops working, it can that gives them the temptation to use money from earlier investors for, you know, to pay it off.
And the confidence goes sour.
When the confidence goes sour.
Confidence, man. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, talking about the government stake in Citibank going away and these 500 alleged Ponzi schemes announced by the Justice Department yesterday. Thanks, Louise.